The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, I do see that it works, at least.
What works? What do you got?
Well, when we give the advice to the Republicans and to the administration, put the Democrats up against the debate wall and force them out as to what they, believe. And we have said, go after them and say, tell them you believe in open borders. Prove to me that you don't. Make a liar out of me. Just during the top of the hour, got a message. They're not. Why do you guys keep saying that? We're not for open borders. You may not be for open borders. He didn't get into specifics, the guy who emailed me.
Right.
And I said, we've made our case. Debate our case that we are wrong. I welcome that. I want the debate. I want the other side to get mad and say, you guys are lying. We're not for open borders. Fine. And we will simply state over and over again, the Democratic Party is for open borders. They believe that if an illegal immigrant crosses the border, they should be able to stay. The Democrat Party believes in welfare benefits for illegal immigrants in the country. The Democratic Party now believes, and it is promoting it in the last 2 weeks, that illegal immigrants should get free health care from the government, both in New York City and the state of California. The Democrat Party believes in sanctuary cities, that once you get here, you should be able to stay. Even if you're an illegal immigrant criminal and the local government should not cooperate with the federal government, and the Democrat Party now believes, we played the audio, I don't know if we played the audio clip, but we read the transcript. I know I've watched the video over and over again, the Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And she stated, no, they should be able to vote because what happens in the local governments affects them. If you believe illegal immigrants should vote, if you believe they should get welfare, if you believe they should get free health care, if you believe that once they cross the border, they should be able to stay and you don't cooperate with the federal government on it, if you believe that they should collect welfare benefits and health benefits, free health benefits, then you believe in open borders. I am making the case you believe in open borders because you are giving the ultimate incentive for every person in the world to come to the United States and either cross the border or overstay their visa. You are giving the ultimate incentive for them to do so. And you also make everybody suspect that you actually wish to close the border if you believe that everybody who gets across the border should be able to stay legally in the United States and then eventually get citizenship. Because then you believe that if you get across illegally, that you actually move up to the front of the line from those people who have waited patiently in other countries to legally get into this country. That's our argument. That's our debate. You can sit there and say you're not for open borders all the way. We rest our case with that. To give you another example, Washington Post on Robert Francis O'Rourke. Here's the headline. Beto O'Rourke's immigration plan, no wall, but no specifics. What do you mean, no specifics? Washington Post shows a picture of him walking through a district in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, in a digital ad recently that went viral, Beto O'Rourke tore into President Donald Trump's desired border wall with soaring footage of the Rio Grande Valley and an explanation of what the wall would do, cut off access to the river, shrink the size of the United States, and force the seizure of privately held land. It noted that most undocumented immigrants who arrived in the United States in the past decade came not over the border, but on visas that then expired. So what should be done to address the visa overstays? I don't know, O'Rourke said, pausing in a lengthy interview. O'Rourke, who represented a border district in the House for 6 years, talked through the issue and came up with a possible solution. The United States could harmonize its visa system with Mexico to keep better track of who's coming into the country and leaving it. That's an answer, but it's something that we should be debating. When it comes to many of the biggest policy issues facing the country today, O'Rourke's default stance is to call for debate, even on issues related to border and immigration, which he has heavily emphasized in videos posted to Facebook and Instagram over the past month. O'Rourke's approach reflects how he is likely to handle issues should he launch a presidential campaign. Beyond a few mainstream Democratic stances, here we go, including closing private immigration prisons, allowing undocumented immigrants to become citizens, and modernizing the work visa system, O'Rourke insists the thorny immigration answers will come from everyday Americans. It's an approach, by the way, that's bull. Mm-hmm. It comes from you, the leaders. It's an approach that puts off specifics that might define him or narrow his appeal in a presidential race, but O'Rourke says he's being open-minded as he wishes more politicians would be. He's lying to you.
Yeah,
He's lying to you. O'Rourke is for open borders. He's for sanctuary cities. Did he denounce in California what they're doing or in New York where they want to give free health care to illegal immigrants?
No.
No.
No, because he's not asked to.
No.
This is the point of putting them on notice and telling everyone that they're for open borders.
This is what we've stated from the very beginning. This is why Republicans are dead wrong and the administration is dead wrong for not holding their feet to the fire. Seeing this article here, he doesn't have to say anything that he's for.
Well, he doesn't. And by the way, we would love to send a shout out to Theresa May, the prime minister, who makes the point on the Brexit thing. The House has spoken and the government will listen. It is clear what the House does not support, but tonight's vote tells us nothing about what it does support.
Okay. So there, okay. Same thing.
Well, because they haven't been challenged to say what they support. The president should invite them, or when he invited them and he had them there. Okay, great. Tell us your plan. Someone should have asked O'Rourke and should ask him again and again and again. Okay, great. Do you think we don't have a problem on the border? Do you think we need greater border control?
Ask him if he's in favor of sanctuary cities.
So
ask him if he's in favor. Ask those specific questions.
What is your plan?
And what he will say is,
what would you do about border control?
And what he will say is exactly what he told the Washington Post. I don't know. We'll leave it up to ordinary Americans to decide. No, you don't. Then don't run for office.
Well, Americans are enforcing the border in uniform. They're called the Border Patrol, and they want a wall.
So, as I said to anybody out there, if you're getting mad, I know you're getting mad, and you're getting mad because you can't answer our questions. And you know what your party actually believes. Mm-hmm. And you know you can't debate the issue. You can write us and say, you guys are wrong. We are for border security. Where?
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 New York is giving undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, free health care. You support that? You support sanctuary city? State?
I have to tell you, except for an occasional, when we break this issue down, the response we get from the opposition is completely dead. Mm-hmm. Maybe just a couple of bits of rage here or there, but completely and totally dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what frustrates us so much, is if the Republicans did that and held their feet to the fire, they get the same reaction. You saw it. You saw it when the president was with Schumer and Pelosi. Well, we need to talk about this behind closed doors. They don't want the American public to know. Beto O'Rourke doesn't know what to do. Yes, he does.
Sure he does.
It's just he knows that the American public, even a significant portion of Democrats, would disagree with him because he is for sanctuary cities. Has he come out against sanctuary cities? Has he come out against health care? Has he come out against welfare and other benefits that are given to illegal immigrants, which is an incentive for them to come to this country? Has he done that? No. Our only look, I don't care what you think about illegal immigration, whether you believe in sanctuary cities or not. What we're saying is to the opposition, be intellectually honest with the American people and sell what you actually believe, but you won't do that. And so that's why we have stated it's up to the Republicans and the president to hold their feet to the fire, and they are failing miserably at doing that.
Again and again and again.
Because this is not about a wall versus wall, wall versus no wall. This is about border people that believe in general border security and people that believe in open borders. That's what the debate is about. That's the big debate. And what the Republicans and the president have not done is define what the other side actually wants. If they're not going to define themselves, if they're going to do what Beto O'Rourke says, I don't know. If they're going to lie to you, then it's up to the Republicans and the president to challenge them, label them, define them, and dare them, as we've just said, go ahead, show me where I'm a liar. Go ahead, show me where I'm a liar. I welcome it. If you're truly for border security, then I will welcome the fact that I can say to you, I am wrong, Nancy Pelosi. I am wrong, Chuck Schumer. I am wrong, Robert Francis O'Rourke. You truly want border security. I will say, I will have no problem saying I was wrong.
They've never been clear on what they want.
No, and there's a reason.
Because what are they promoting for border security?
Because they are clear.
Someone tell us what their border security plan is. Tell us. Yeah. They're promoting it, right?
I can tell you what mine is.
We know what Trump's is. Anyone know what Nancy wants? Anyone know what Chuck wants? Anyone know what Beto wants? He doesn't know. And he's going to make an awesome president. I don't know. We'll just leave it up to other people. Great.
But he's being thoughtful, Eric.
Sure, on a skateboard.
He's being thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
He's pondering this. He's grappling.
Mm-hmm. We'll leave it up to everyday Americans. Okay, who would that be?
He's grappling with it.
Yeah.
We're going to hear the grappling word from O'Rourke. He won't take Obama's endorsement, but he may use the same word, grappling.
Grappling. Yeah, good luck with that.
But, I mean, that's pure garbage. I mean, when I saw that in the Washington Post, I said, thank you for making our point. Again, there he's interviewing with Friendly Territory. What does he tell them? I don't know. What's their analysis? Oh, he doesn't want to answer. That's what they said.
Right. You know,
he really doesn't want to answer because he doesn't want to say anything that will make the voter not vote for him. What would it be? He knows that Democrats won't support him if he comes out in favor of sanctuary cities, welfare.
Right.
That illegals should be able to vote. He won't say what he believes because he knows many Democrats will disagree with him.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Nancy and Chuck.
Yeah.
They can't promote their plan.
Can't promote their plan. They got to do it in private. They cannot tell you in public. You could see it with the when they met with the president. The president was willing to talk about it. They will run.
Mm-hmm.
They will not talk about it. We mentioned the New York Times story last week that said the Democrats, especially in the areas where Democrats won, in more moderate districts, where they just said that Democrats are horrified that Nancy Pelosi said, to, you know, really, as they were saying, you can't say border security is immoral. And so the whole thing is, don't talk border security, don't talk about illegal immigration, talk about the shutdown only. That was in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Washington Post article, friendly territory for Beto O'Rourke? Well, I don't know. Leave it up to the American people. Their analysis, he doesn't want to tell people what he really thinks.
No. You can't promote it. If you can't promote what you really think, something is wrong.
These are adults. This is a guy who believes he's ready to be president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know what to do about illegal immigration. He has no idea. I'll leave it to the American people. Well, that's a cop-out.
No question where the president stands.
Yeah. Tell us where you stand. If you believe you've got the moral high ground, tell the American people. Don't be afraid to tell the president where he's wrong. Tell him precisely what border security should be.
Submit your plan.
They won't do it.
Nope. Nobody asked him to do it.
That's a great point.
Nobody will ask him
to do it. The opposition doesn't ask him to do it. 866-90-RED-EYE.
When your batteries talk, it's important that you listen. To avoid getting stuck out in the cold this winter, be aware of these two warning signs that may indicate your truck batteries are trying to tell you something. The most obvious sign is your truck's inability to crank at the proper speed. If you experience any sluggishness, it's likely an indicator that you have a cranking problem that may be battery related. Another warning sign is wet or damp batteries. This may indicate your batteries are leaking or overcharging and will eventually fail. Being aware of these simple warning signs could help you escape the cold this winter and help avoid future repairs. If you're experiencing sluggish cranking or notice your batteries are moist, stop into a TA truck service to have your cranking system and batteries tested and inspected by a trained technician.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Radio. He's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. I did see this meme yesterday and smile because it does. It is true, and it doesn't solve the problem of focusing on the issues of illegal immigration and border security as we believe the administration should be focused in on. But it does give you a great example of media bias. Charlie Kirk wrote it yesterday. His meme out there. Make no mistakes. If 30 Republicans got drunk on a beach with 109 lobbyists in Puerto Rico watching Broadway plays during a government shutdown, it would be the number one story in the world, and the media would be screaming for resignations.
Mm. It's a great point.
It's a great point.
Yep.
We had talked about it, but the way he just put it.
Well, because we don't think that way. We expect that kind of behavior from them. But the left behaves that way in the reaction. And they would think that, no, the first thing to do is call for their resignation. And it would have been nonstop. The whole tone of the discussion would have changed drastically.
Yeah, and it would have been news all over. What do you think about all the news shows we'd be talking about? What do you think about 30? We looked at it and just went, yeah, well, typical.
Well, the president stayed home for, stayed at the White House for Christmas break. And the media essentially was mocking him. Poor little guy doesn't get his way and he's home all alone. He stood on principles to say that I'm not gonna leave.
And if he would have gone?
Oh yeah.
What would have happened? What was the media coverage of
him? Now
he's
at Mar-a-Lago and this shows he's not serious.
Right.
He's never been serious. And those who follow him should know that he's not serious. Why would he go to Florida?
Mm-hmm.
And there you have it.
they apologize for nothing. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, just very quickly here, just on a note, because this blew up in social media, especially in New York. Do you remember the stretch limousine, the modified stretch limousine?
Yeah.
That got in that terrible accident where I think, what, like 20 people were killed?
Yeah.
Now, the Governor Cuomo wants to ban modified stretch limousines in the new budget plan. And it's interesting because it was a terrible tragedy, but the fact that it was a modified stretch limo had nothing to do with the accident.
Yeah,
and people the response that I saw out of New York on that one was like, it's like anything goes wrong, ban it. That was what I saw on social media, and I'm talking about. I went through to a couple of different news websites where there were hundreds, and I went down. I just scanned all. I couldn't find one that said it's about time the governor did that.
Right,
and many of these were on. It was like, come on, do we ban everything? And as they pointed, I go, wait a minute. The fact that it was a modified stretch limousine had nothing to do with why it crashed. It didn't crash because it was longer.
Well, I guess the question would be if you're going to impose new rules or safety standards, what would that be in terms of the number of exits or doors on a particular vehicle? I mean, you've had deadly bus crashes when we're talking about something that's going to carry multiple people. Remember the whole thing with 15 passenger vans? This was a while back when they came out that their design wasn't safe and the whole thing, and you have many daycares that use those 15 passenger vans to transport children. And I don't know to what extent you're going to change the dynamics here. If it's not a modified limousine, then it could be one of the party buses that people rent.
Right.
It could have been something like that.
Right. And as they say, right here, the prosecutors have charged the operator of the limo company with criminally negligent homicide, alleging he allowed an improperly licensed driver to operate a vehicle deemed unserviceable by state inspectors.
Yeah, I don't know about that state inspection or standard, or why it was deemed unserviceable. If you have someone who is unlicensed operating the vehicle, there's your first problem. So you're not going to change, I guess, anything or necessarily prevent anything. Because you still have large vehicles that are going to be used to carry around multiple people. And by the way, you probably still have companies that have unlicensed drivers or drivers that don't have that type of license. If that's the case, you hold the company responsible.
Exactly. In other news, the IRS is recalling 46,000 workers to handle tax returns. I also saw the FAA recalling people. Now, all these people are being recalled off furlough,
right,
and they will have to work, until the government is open again, they're going to have to work without pay.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was, I was reading, forgot to mention this earlier, because you and I wondered what happened where the president, it seemed like last Friday, when Lindsey Graham walked out, from meeting with the president, and he said the president agrees and I agree that we cannot work this out, that the Democrats will not compromise at all So declare a national emergency and do it. We saw that Friday, right?
Right.
And so I really thought by Friday night, Saturday morning, I went, whoa, president's going to do it now. Lindsey Graham comes out, does it. You know, that's the trial balloon. Boom, let's do it. By Sunday, Lindsey Graham's talking about a three-week cooling off period.
Right.
It's like, okay, where did that come from? And the president came out on Monday and said he is not going to issue at that time a national emergency. Wall Street Journal stating that from their sources and people they've talked to within the White House, they're not going down the path of the national emergency. That's not going to happen. Why? Because it would be a long, lengthy court battle, is what the aides told the Wall Street Journal, apparently. Mm-hmm. As we have said all along, it wouldn't be something that would move forward. It would be a political move. It would be an off-ramp that you could choose. Mm-hmm. But as we have stated, many in the president's base want the president to stick with the shutdown no matter how long it goes. They believe that that's the only way. They believe that the president goes the way of the national emergency, that nothing's ever going to get done. It's really putting up the white flag.
Well, it's getting it out of the discussion and moving it into the courts, where then you could say, as long as it's in the courts, we're still fighting. And that's an off-ramp. That's the political off-ramp. I don't know that that would work with his base. But he has said twice over the last few days, he's not going to do that. So then the question is, okay, what's the end game? What do you do now?
What's the end game? What's the next option the president's going to offer? If you basically have said... Because there's two things that the president brought up.
Mm-hmm.
One was before the shutdown with Sarah Huckabee Sanders,
right,
where they stated, we're going to go to each and every department. Well, as soon as the conservative media said, nope, you're folding.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be done. That can't be done. You're folding. The president has been on the fact that, okay, if we have to close the government, we're going to close the government. But as we said, well, if he could do that, he would have done it. So at that point, we said, number one, when Sarah Huckabee Sanders came out, we said, well, all the Democrats know he is willing to fold if he has a right off ramp, because he was the president, the people said the president stood strong. No, he didn't. He only stood strong when the conservative media, as we stated yesterday, when Drudge came out with that headline, when Ann Coulter was tweeting like crazy. You can look at the conservative media. You can throw in Rush, Mark Levin, all of that, that the president pays attention to, and he reversed course after the conservative media said, you're caving. So the people have said the president stood strong all along. No, he was willing. He was willing to go in a different direction. And if he could have done it, he should have said, no, we can get this money. Folks, we're going to get this money, and I can do it. And he didn't do that. He said, no, we're going to close. Now, the second one was a national emergency. And as we stated, there's going to be a huge court battle. You're not going to start building anything. As you said all along, this is about eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, you know, the courts might say down the road, yeah. But down the road could be 2-3 years from now.
Well, next thing to hit, right, for the president is going to be TSA and air traffic controllers.
Right.
Because at some point, you take this, let's say you take it into March. These individuals aren't taking any money home yet. They haven't had a paycheck all year.
If you had done the national emergency, then mm-hmm. you would have opened the government.
Yeah,
so
no,
that wouldn't
right.
have been the
problem. He says isn't going to happen. So my point is, if they're going to be on, you know, if he's going to stay on the shutdown, what is the ultimate play here? Because eventually you're going to get to people flying for spring break or whatever it is. You already got the long lines. You already got the trolling by Matt Drudge. if he was trolling.
Is it? I don't think it's still up there, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay. No, we asked a question yesterday. Why did Drudge knows he reads it, so why did he? Why did Drudge put that up yesterday, which was, you know, what was the headline again?
Well, it focused on the long waiting times and that the government was something about the government shutdown is creating chaos or something like that.
Yeah.
Which again, I said was hyperbole.
Oh, yeah, it was, because it really wasn't.
But when it starts hitting...
It wasn't an accurate portrayal of what's going on.
No, it's not. But when it starts to be the case, when you have people at the TSA that have decided to move on to another job or, you know, can't wait it out for, you know, whatever reason. You want this to go on 2 years? Well, what's going to happen at airports? And I don't know. I have no idea. Don't know.
Well, if the president has indicated that he is not going to go down the road of a national emergency, if that's what his aides are telling...
And he said it twice in recent days.
Right, and so he's and the fear is it would be a long court battle. Mm-hmm. Which, let's say it took, you know, 6 months or 8 months, you're well into the primary season. Then the eminent domain process itself to build that portion of the wall. Where are you going to go with that at that point? And they just apparently they thought it wasn't worth it. But you took an option off the table, though.
Right.
Because those sources that told the Wall Street Journal are telling everybody else, whoever they are inside the White House, they've let it be known, we're not going to... So then you've taken that option off the table. That's a negotiating option that they weren't sure whether you were going to use it or not. Now what is your negotiating tactic at this point? What is the White House thinking? What is their next move?
And I don't know what that would be.
You know, we saw yesterday when he said he was going to try to peel off... You know, certain Democrats went, well, that's not going to happen. And no Democrat showed up for the bipartisan lunch today. Mm-hmm. We said, are they really thinking of doing that? Is there some kind of ploy there? I mean, what?
They don't show up.
Is it misdirection? Because we didn't understand. Or was it is it desperation that we have nothing else to go on?
Right.
Because what's the next move of the president except to keep the shutdown going? Which then somebody in the White House is asking, how long can we go with this?
Well, yesterday was another payday. You might get through to February 1st, and then how long before people have to deal with that pain of not getting paid, that are having to work? That will affect other Americans, doing jobs that will affect other Americans. Sorry, it's going to happen at the airports. If it happens.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 of Red Eye. So, what was the story? There it is. See a new U.S.-bound caravan grows to more than 2,000.
Hmm.
And I'm reading this here from Fox News, but they're talking about the commentators in Mexico that aren't happy about it. And people on social media in Mexico.
Right.
A new caravan that began in Honduras and quickly swelled to an estimated 2,000 people made its way towards Mexico on Tuesday. Mexicans who live along the border towns that will likely be most affected took to the internet to lash out against another wave of migrants going through Mexico. And they go through all the different, a lot of the different social media posts.
Right. Good thing we're spending $5 billion to help them secure their southern border in Mexico. That is such a burn. Wow. Seriously. I mean, right now in Mexico, they're screaming in southern Mexico, build the wall. This is not a difficult topic at all.
No.
Doesn't have hardly any moving parts here. Secure the border or no?
That's why I said that the actual issue is those who believe in border security and those who believe in open borders. Mm-hmm. And I'll keep that argument going. And if you call me every name in the book, tell me, as we have said, you know, and we used to use this a lot more, but tell me where I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Tell me where the Democrats aren't for open borders. And you can't. We had one caller try last week. We had, you know, another guy email us and was furious at us saying, that's not the truth. Well, then tell us what the truth is.
We know why the rank and file, why you guys would say that.
Yeah.
Because you're not.
You're not.
Sorry, your party leaders are.
They are.
And they're demonstrating that with the policies they create over and over and over and over. You can't deny it.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Not much movement on the wall negotiations. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. You know, I did think that, and we haven't hit this yet. Off the air we have, but not on the air. And off the air really doesn't matter to anybody listening.
I'm listening.
They'd rather hear us than talk about it on the air. But it's something that when you bring it up, people go, oh, it's such a long time ago. And a lot of people think it might be forgotten now that the Republicans are out of office and it seems so long ago. Mm-hmm. But it actually isn't. And this is about Hillary's email and the Benghazi scandal. Judicial Watch announced today that the United States District Judge Royce Lamberth ruled that discovery can begin in Hillary Clinton's email scandal. As we said, it might end up the Judicial Watch and their lawsuits against the government, their freedom of information lawsuits against the government, might get further than even Republicans did. I mean, there's a distinct possibility that could actually happen.
Right.
But they ruled that discovery can begin in the Hillary email scandal. Obama administration, State Department officials, lawyers, and Clinton aides will now be deposed under oath. Senior officials, including Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, Jacob Sullivan, and FBI official E.W. Priestep, will now have to answer Judicial Watch's written questions under oath. The court rejected the Department of Justice and State Department's objections to Judicial Watch's court-ordered discovery plan. The court, in ordering the discovery plan last month, ruled that Clinton's email system was, quote, one of the gravest modern offenses to government transparency, end of quote. As we've often stated, a lot of stuff gets done because it goes before federal judges.
Right.
Judicial Watch's discovery will seek answers to whether Hillary Clinton intentionally attempted to evade the Freedom of Information Act by using a non-government email system, whether the State Department's efforts to settle this case beginning in late 2014 amounted to bad faith, and whether the State Department adequately searched for records responsive to Judicial Watch's Freedom of Information request. Discovery is scheduled to be completed within 120 days. The court will hold a post-discovery hearing to determine if Judicial Watch may also depose additional witnesses, including Hillary Clinton and her former chief of staff, Cheryl Mills. Judge Lamberth ordered written responses under oath to Judicial Watch's questions from Obama administration senior officials Rhodes, and Sullivan, and the former FBI official. Rice and Rhodes will answer questions under oath also on the Benghazi scandal, rejecting the State and Justice Department's objections to discovery on Benghazi talking points. Judge Lamberth reiterated, quote, yet Rice's talking points and State's understanding of the attack play an unavoidably central role in the Hillary email case. Information about the points development and content, as well as their discussion and dissemination before and after Rice's appearances when she went on and lied.
Right.
On TV about the fact that the attack on Benghazi was because of a video which it was not. It was a terrorist attack.
Right.
After Rice's appearances could reveal unsearched relevant records, State's role in the points content and development could shed light on Clinton's motives for shielding her emails from Freedom of Information request or on the State Department's reluctance to search her emails. So what they're saying is, we want to know about Hillary's emails and whether, you know, why she did it. And one of the reasons that she might have done it was so they need to know whether there's things on Benghazi that were discussed back and forth that would make the case as, I guess, corroborating evidence that this is what she planned all along. She planned to do things like this and discuss things that she never wanted to be in the Freedom of Information Act, for example. On her server, did you write emails back and forth where you discussed the fact that you would say this, and what date was it? And it's very important because we know in the hearing with Hillary, we know that on the night of the Benghazi attack, she knew it was not a video.
Yeah.
So did she tell her to go with talking points and knowingly lie? And then at that point, you know, on the email system, when she's discussing it with her aides, that's what they're looking. That's what the judge said they would be looking for, is evidence that she, you know, she was telling them or encouraging them to give a narrative that she knew was false, which would be one of the reasons why there's more evidence of why she wanted to hide her email from the Freedom of Information Act so she could tell her staff to go do something that was lying to the American public.
Whoa. Well, it's a big deal, and we've seen it. And also, there's been speculation about the connection between Benghazi and the email scandal, about what would we learn as, you know, during her time as Secretary of State, what would we learn about her behavior? I mean, I think we learned a great deal, of course, you know, with then-Director James Comey, no reasonable prosecutor would pursue the law that was clearly broken. But beyond that, what other laws may have been broken? What other lines may have been crossed? The American people deserve the truth. Judicial Watch doesn't let up, and thank goodness.
Yeah, they
you mentioned
they
really during are. The break. That, look, they're continuing the fight here. Where the Republicans weren't able to make any ground or refused to pursue it. One of the two, we don't know.
And Judicial's, just so people know, Judicial Watch is, you know, is the private group that is saying, like any group, we have a right to, there's a Freedom of Information Act that exists, and we want records. Well, we couldn't get all these records, and then they delayed the records. And we want all these records because we should know about it. And then they went to a judge because they filed a lawsuit and got to a federal judge to say, wait a minute, do you see what's going on here? We want to find out what, and that's what this is. This is a fact-finding mission. They want the truth. They want to know what happened so they can give it to the American public. And if they give it to the American public and they get the information that shows that clearly there was law breaking, who knows at that point? I don't know what the statute of limitations are, but would they get to that point? But at least as we've always stated, what we want is the knowledge.
Just the information.
If the American, we've said this all along, if the American public believes that some people in government should be able to get away with crimes, then that's right. on the American public. But at least get the truth out. I want a system where the truth gets out. I can't change public opinion all the time. None right. of us can change public opinion all the time. But we can ensure that we live in a system where the truth comes out. And if the public wishes to tolerate law breaking, then that's on the public. That's on the people. Then they get what they want. They claim they want honest politicians, but it's okay. We don't want an honest politician, and we don't want a politician with integrity, and we don't want a politician that obeys the law as long as they agree with me. No.
Right. And you know, I mean, the truth is really the only thing that matters. Without the truth, you can't have the thorough discussion. Without the truth, you can't fully hold people responsible if they do break the law. And that's what, you know, Judicial Watch is all about. Get the information out.
On negotiations for the wall, really nothing new. We know the president on Monday said they weren't going to go. National emergency route. Wall Street Journal wrote yesterday that their sources are inside the White House. White House aides are telling them that it's a no-go. That they're moving away from that because it would be a long, long court battle before they got anywhere with it. Which brings us ask we bring the question that what is the next move by the president, or are there no moves to be made on either side? It's just waited out to the political pressure is greatest on one side where they say, okay, open up the government again.
Right. And
because the president's not using it as a threat anymore.
No.
Even.
No, I don't know where you go from here. Does he plan to keep the government shut down for 2 years? We know the Democrats aren't going to give him a dime for the wall. So who blinks first? If he's not willing to go with national emergency, then where do you go? The only place to go is either hold the line and keep the government closed for 2 years or open it and go on, move on.
And that can't happen.
It's not going to happen.
Because you can't, the political pressure, as we said, eventually the pressure will get so great that somebody's going to have to, there will have to be either some kind of compromise or somebody's going to have to fold. Because when air traffic controllers start saying, wait a minute, we haven't been paid in 3 months, we need to find other jobs, because we're talking about 2 years. Mm-hmm. When TSA quits and they can't retrain anybody and the security places start falling because those people roughly make, I've seen the average of some of the staff right there make between 30 and 40,000. So when they start moving and they can't train anybody new, there's nobody to do it. Then they start closing. When airports start closing down or airports start having serious delays, at what point that will be, I don't know. But there will get a point where people will say, okay, there's no return on investment here. I haven't been paid. I can't continue to work and not get paid.
Right.
I've got to find another job. So when will that be? Even the air traffic controllers. And when that starts happening, you know, that's why it can't be 2 years. So what's the end game?
Right. And what do you say when you finally open the government up? Or what do you say, theoretically, if we get to November and people are trying to travel for Thanksgiving and you've got horrible waiting times or flights that can't get off the ground because you have no air traffic controllers?
Well, plus you're not going to be able to, you're going to have problems because the FAA is now calling back a ton of people
mm-hmm.
also, but they have to work again.
It's without pay.
Without pay. How long do you work without pay?
Right.
And that's why we stated there is, I don't know what the time frame is, but the time frame certainly isn't 2 years, because if 50% of the people, if 70% of the people, I'm going to say because it would be more than that, if 70, 75, 80% of the people are gone, mm-hmm. you can't operate the airports.
No.
The airports are closed. You can't do proper inspection on the planes because they will quit. You won't be able to get through tax season because even the tax preparers who work for the IRS will end up quitting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It can only last for so long. It's not going to last for 2 years. So there has to be an exit game. And don't know what that'll be. We'll see.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The basic document that governs how the whole country is run, the Constitution, has only a little over 4,500 words written on four sheets measuring about 29 by 23 inches. Let's fast forward 230 years to the White House.
Now it's my great honor to sign the Farm Bill.
Just one bill.
There are 11 titles in this Farm Bill. Over 800 pages.
Ohio State University economist Carl Zuloff, some general observations about the bill from this seasoned analyst first.
It's largely a five-year extension of current policy with a few exceptions.
Mainly in the cotton and dairy programs, which had already been included in February's bipartisan budget bill. In fact, Zuloff told us,
I don't know that we would have a farm bill if new monies had not come in through the bipartisan budget act for the cotton and dairy program. That's how tight the money was.
And as it turns out,
this is a cheaper farm bill than the 2014 bill.
Mainly due to fewer people on the USDA SNAP program. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Steve in Seattle, Washington. Steve, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thanks, guys. I want to go ask you, the elemental question should be, if we can't seem to take care of our Native Americans, right, about 200 yards from where I'm living, there's people living in tents and in the forest, and here we're talking about rewarding people coming from another country illegally, and they seem to be going ahead of the people we can't even take care of. Does that seem right?
Well, if you're asking why that's happening, it's happening because there is a political party who wishes that to be the way, and there are millions, tens of millions of voters who continue to vote that party into office and don't demand tough questions from a party where a significant portion of those voters actually disagree on those issues. Mm-hmm. With their party. As we have said, this is not wall versus wall. This is border security versus open borders. There's a party that believes in border security or claims that they believe in border security, even though they don't fight for it hard enough. We've talked about the Republicans over the last 15 years, but the other party is for open borders.
Right.
And as we've stated before, people get upset when we say that, and we've said, prove us wrong. As long as they believe in sanctuary cities, as long as they believe that illegal immigrants should be able to vote, as long as they believe that illegal immigrants should be able to get welfare and free health care, and thanks to the person who wrote, it's not free, the taxpayers pay for it. It's free for the people that are getting it, and we're not talking about the taxpayers. We're talking about how it's marketed by the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
To illegal immigrants. You get the free health care. That's the incentive to come over. They're not marketing it saying, hey, you taxpayers, you're paying for the free health. They're not marketing it that way. They're marketing it to the illegal immigrants as an incentive for them to come across the border, to attempt to come across the border. And when you add it all up as to what they are for, there is no other conclusion except they're for open borders. They don't want more border security. We read the Washington Post and part of the article that they wrote on Robert Francis O'Rourke, Beto O'Rourke, and he said, well, I really don't know what to do. He wants to run for president. He was running for senator.
And he gets away with that because nobody's going to ask a follow-up question. Yeah. No one's going to ask him to present his plan for border security.
Well, the Washington Post figured out. They said he doesn't want to give his opinion on anything because he might alienate Democrats.
That's right. Here's your forecast.
Showers continue today on the West Coast, and those showers will become snow flurries when you get into the upper elevations of the Sierras and Cascades in the West. From Seattle down through Olympia, portions of Sacramento into Los Angeles and San Diego, the entire I-5 corridor are under the threat of rain showers today. And again, as you move eastward into portions of I-80 and I-90 near Spokane and over to Salt Lake City, you will encounter snow and or mixed precip. That same scenario, only more intense, will be set up for tomorrow. So another round, at least 24 hours of continued showers and snow for the west. Mainly clear for the central U.S., some icing for portions of central Ohio. Tomorrow, Thursday, look for more showers in the south with a developing storm system for the Midwest. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. I think we did mention it, but just a little bit more detail. The IRS is recalling 46,000 workers to handle tax returns. They will eventually get paid, but they are not getting paid when they work.
Right.
Until a later date, till when the government is open. So it looks like tax season is going to start.
Yeah, in fact, the OMB announcing January 28th is the official start of tax season there at the IRS.
I got my
is a little bit later.
I got my W-2. I got all my records. File now!
Yeah.
I'm taking a sick day tomorrow.
Are you? I'm paying...
Keep the shutdown going for a while.
Yeah, you're paying more now.
I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Republican tax plan, we're paying more.
And I don't get a return these days, so I always owe money. So I guess I'll be filing for an extension until they build the wall. I'm going to write that on the report. I'll pay my taxes when you build the wall. How do you think that's going to work out for me? What do you think?
I don't think
what
you're
are the
win.
Chances?
You're not going to win that one.
Mm. Here's a wall, Mr. Harley. It's a prison wall. And you're going to be on the inside of it.
That's right. You're going to be.
You moron.
You'll experience the wall.
Yeah. Oh, there's a wall. We got a wall.
We go to Eric and his report from inside the prison where he's surrounded by walls.
That's right.
So,
why do we build walls around each other?
Eric's report, it must work. I can't get out.
The man is holding me down. You know, it's a problem.
All right, now, I saw these two stories yesterday. It was funny because I got them from two different sources. Brian gave me one, and I found the other one. Two different studies. Americans spend nearly half their waking hours looking at screens.
Hold on, I'm looking at something.
Researchers calculate the average adult logs 6 hours and 43 minutes of total screen time daily, or 7,956 days over a typical lifespan, exclamation mark.
Oh, well, they put an exclamation point there?
And then here's another
Sorry.
One. Survey, 1 in 4 adults checks phone less than a minute after waking up.
What took them so long? I sleep with my phone already swiped to open.
To say that Americans are dependent on their cell phones is an understatement. And the same thing here, people are spending so much time. And the problem is only getting worse.
Uh-huh.
Problem?
Is it a problem?
Wait a minute. Now, I've been in front of a screen here for the last... Well, we got in here... over 5-6 hours just here alone. And I've had two screens. This screen, and then I've had a number of windows open, and then my phone is right here. My phone is... the screen is so large on this phone that has become a very valuable resource because one screen is not enough.
Right. It never is.
That's going to be... Wow. That's my new band's name.
One screen is not enough?
One screen is not enough.
You shouldn't rename the band. It's a horrible name.
We'll play the Super Bowl. Maroon 5 and one screen isn't enough.
Yes.
But Americans spend nearly half their waking hours looking at screens. Well, yeah. I pay all my bills online.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. All of my newspapers I read online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even before I was in radio, because even before this I was in rock radio, and so, but I've always, as out of college and even college. Now, USA Today didn't exist, but after I got out of college is when USA Today came along. But I would always get the two local papers at the time, USA Today and the Wall Street Journal, even way back then. We're going back, you know, well, not 40 years for USA Today, because I don't think they came about until, what, 82, 83, maybe 84.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
But I would get both, and magazines, news magazines. Back then, it was when I was in college, U.S. News and World Report, both local papers, and the Wall Street Journal, and I'd read them from beginning to end. I'd go through all of it. So you spend time reading papers. Now you read papers online.
Mm-hmm.
So you read magazines, papers, websites. You pay all of your bills.
Mm-hmm. You watch cat videos.
You watch cat videos.
Mm-hmm.
I watch TV online.
Yeah,
I watch TV online all the time on my phone, especially with the bigger screens since I got the Note 9 mm-hmm. a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching sports all the time. The screen is so big.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, I'm watching a lot of college basketball, and ESPN Plus plays a lot of them that, you know, and I don't have the smart TV hooked up to my big TV. I watch it on my phone all the time, watch basketball games constantly. I have one to watch. It happened last night. A couple I want to catch, and they have the little repeats of them where you can catch the repeats, and I'll watch the last 10, 20 minutes. So I'm probably spending, seriously, how much, what do we spend? Because on the air alone. And before, when we get here, is that's 6 hours, six and a half hours right there.
Well, I don't know of anything else where I'm not, you know, staring at a screen unless I'm driving. You know, I mean, my wife and I go to dinner. We're talking about, you know, downtime, but I eat. And sometimes I'm staring at a sandwich that looks screen.
In my new car.
Mm-hmm.
The phone goes right to the screen, and so an email comes in. I can hit it, and the audio plays. I did it once when it was last week when I was driving to work.
Mm-hmm.
When you text me and told me that you lost your voice,
mm-hmm.
and I played that. And
I found it, by the way.
Yeah, you found. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And the now I was driving, so it won't show me the screen. But when I just hit okay, read it. And, you know, the little computerized voice came on and read your email to me. So I'm still online when I'm driving. Now, I can't see, for example, I can't go online, but I can get all my emails and texts and everything that's in my phone, except it won't show me a screen of, you know,
right.
of the Internet.
Sure. No, I honestly don't know of any part of my day when I'm trying to, you know, accomplish something, again, other than having dinner or driving, I'm always looking at a screen.
Yeah, same with me. And I don't, again, now it is part of our profession as to what we do, but if I wasn't doing this, I would still be reading. I'd still be reading everything that I used to read before there were computer screens.
Yeah, right.
I remember sitting at lunch. We get an hour lunch, the whole lunch. When I remember when I was a steel worker, sitting at the table, reading the paper the entire hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then reading it in the morning, reading it when I got home, because there were different, you know, different newspapers and then magazines that I read. So it's all on a screen now. That's where everything is.
Well, I mean, it's like saying 40 or 50 years ago, students in school spend most of their time in school staring at books.
Because there's where they say the problem is, and then everything else. I mean, I was making today, spent a lot of time, again, on my phone looking at a screen, but putting a bunch of airplane flights that I want to take over the next 6 months. And right. So I'm doing that all on a screen. I'm not on a phone like you used to be 35 years ago.
Right.
30 years ago. You're doing all of that, all of your banking, anything that you have to do now with the modern phone. So you're looking at a screen. So when I read these and I went, who's putting these stories together as if it's a problem? Now, if you're playing video games all day, yeah, you might have a problem.
Well, if you're texting while driving.
If you're texting while driving, you may have a problem.
If it's not productive, yeah, that's a problem. But I can't make people not. I can't make people be productive.
But look, technology is not the problem. It's how you use technology.
An interest in anything is not the problem. It's how far you take it. You mentioned gaming. Unless you're a professional gamer. You know, staying up all night and then trying to get a 30-minute nap before work isn't going to work out for you very well.
And I have no interest in gaming.
No, I never have.
I never. Well, I did. If you're under 70 years of age, you remember Space Invaders.
Arcades where we had to get up and go outside and go to a place.
What was it called? Was it skeet ball? Where you rolled the ball. Remember you rolled the ball down and it would go, there'd be like a target.
Oh, yeah.
Going
yeah. Right.
Where the holes.
I remember that.
That was.
Or Galaga. I was pretty good at Galaga back in the day. Amazon has an app on the Fire Stick of Galaga and it's way, 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 way too good for me.
Yeah, but if you go way, way back to the real great games, you know what the real great games were?
Frogger?
No, the bowling games in bars. Remember, not even the puck. Remember they had the puck? I became really good at the puck game. But the one before that had actually had the ball. And when I was in college, we used to get lunch from this one bar when I was working at the bank. And we'd go in there, we'd come back, we'd play 10 games of bowling, take hour and a half lunches and come back.
But I saw somebody playing shuffleboard the other day. That's the one with the puck.
This is shuffleboard bowling, but the shuffleboard in the bars, you mean. That kind of shuffleboard,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were all over the place. Well, though, people were playing them just, I don't know, are they still in bars? Pool tables are.
Yeah, so I saw one the other day. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know why someone was playing it, but
but Space Invaders, I was addicted to. I will admit that, and that was really at the beginning.
Well, that was about hanging out at the arcade, going somewhere.
No, I was drinking.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't. I was much younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you remember how simple that was? Because you're just hitting rows.
Yeah.
And then what was it that came after that? The one with where it would gobble up. And Pac-Man, yeah. Pac-Man was right after Space Invaders.
Nah, I didn't like
Pac-Man. And I was done.
I don't like Pac-Man.
I was done with video games after Space Invaders.
Yeah.
Pac-Man, I was like, nah, I'm not going to play that.
Yeah. So. And we had Pong. The first in-home game.
Yeah.
Which was, all right, by the way, horrible. If you're under the age of 90, it was the worst game ever. Two lines. And then a square that bounced between them.
But you really can't appreciate where life has gone unless you were like us, where we played electric football.
Right.
And then got to the modern video games of today that you can play even on your phone.
We had a bunch of magnets that basically just kind of ran around in circles until you turned it off. And we kept playing it. And more than one person bought one.
And you can still buy them. They still exist.
I don't know why.
866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, one of the things about this whole non-negotiation going on here is there's really, every day, it's not like even in past shutdowns where it's like, okay, here's where they're trying to negotiate here or go over here or try to do this or do this. Here, I mean, there's nothing right now.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough to even speculate what any bargaining position either side is going to take.
I don't think there is one. I think they've reached that, and it's something we've been saying all along. There is no middle ground for the Democrats here. They're not going to budge. So where does the president go? Well, he's not going to cave to them, but ultimately he's going to have to reopen the government. So then how do you pursue the wall? Lots of questions. By the way, we'll be watching what's going on in Great Britain today to see what the Brexit deal is all about. Lots to talk about that on the next show as well.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.